The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, thank you for joining us. As always, great to have you with us. We have a returning guest, somebody who is probably one of my most favorite people to interview. And the other good thing about it is that he is going to be here in Cleveland at our Bringing America Back to Life Convention 2024. He is going to be our opening speaker on Friday, March the 8th. And I'm talking about none other than the dear and very famous Stephen Mosher, who is the president of Population Research Institute. You've heard me talking with Stephen many, many times. So it's great to have you with us, Stephen. Thank you for joining.
Well, it's great to be with you again, Molly, and I'm very much looking forward to the Bringing America Back to Life conference. You know, I've been speaking at conferences for the last quarter century or more, and this is one of the best conferences I've ever attended. I've been there multiple times, as you know.
Yes.
Thanks to your kind invitation. I'm looking forward to being together with you. And it's always a great group of people who gather and share our common view of the necessity to protect unborn human life, life from conception to natural death.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think you've come a couple of times with your wife as well. So I think you were there 1 year with your wife as well. So it's always such a pleasure to have you there, and you a wealth of information. And you are probably one of the speakers we get the most requests to have you come back again. So I'm glad you were able to do it this year. This is amazing. So you are recognized around the world, internationally, as the authority on China and population issues. You're also an author. As you mentioned, you speak all over the world. You have been in this fight since 1979. It's unbelievable. But before we get to, you know, what you're going to be talking about, all of that kind of stuff, I always find it fascinating to see God working through people like you, because you were the very first American social scientist to visit mainland China. At the time, you were a socialist. You were not on our side at all.
Well, I couldn't help myself, really, Molly, because I was at Stanford University, which even in those days was one of the high temples of secular humanism. I mean, I was surrounded by, for the most part, godless atheists who admired socialism, who thought that Mao Zedong and the Chinese Communist Party had done a wonderful thing in creating a new socialist man, a new socialist woman in China, and that the lives of the Chinese people post-communism were ever so much better than the lives that they had enjoyed before the coming of communism. So that's what I had been spoon-fed at Stanford by, in some cases, Marxist, openly Marxist professors. There are more now, but there were some then as well. And so when I went to China, that's what I expected to find. It took months for the local Chinese villagers to convince me that it wasn't true, that none of it was true, that their lives were actually worse. This was 1980.
Wow.
Than they had been in 1949, before the coming of the Chinese Communist Party to power. And you know how they convinced me? Well, they convinced me by taking me out to a little hill not far from the village, it's called Little Turtle Mountain, where all of the former members of the Nationalist Party and the former village leaders had been taken out and shot when the Red Army got there in early 1950. They convinced me by taking me out to a potter's field where several hundred people were buried, people who had been killed or died of famine during the famine after the Great Leap Forward in 1960, 1961. They convinced me by telling me stories about how People had practiced cannibalism during the Cultural Revolution in the 1966, 67, 68, literally eating their political enemies. They convinced me by telling me that, you know, in the old days, the village leaders were not bad men, they said, and even if they were, they had limited power. Now the Communist Party officials control our entire lives. You know, and the Communist Party criticized landlords. You know what the villagers called the Communist Party? They called it the big landlord, because that's what it was. It owned all the land, all the property, all the homes, and in fact, all the people in China. And it still does today, Molly. It's a totalitarian state.
Your talk is going to be called, and folks, please remember, this is going to be on Friday, March the 8th at the Embassy Suites in Independence, Bringing America Back to Life. Go to our website, register now. We have sold out of tickets for the last 6 years. Don't be disappointed, because we can't accommodate you, so do it right now. But your talk at the convention, Steve, is going to be the devil and communist China and communist Chinese communism. What the devil? That's pretty harsh. Tell us why.
Well,
why did you?
I don't speak lightly of the devil. I can assure you.
I'm sure you don't.
And I try to avoid him at all costs. And, you know, if I'm tempted, I say, Vade retro draco, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact is that if you look at the whole trajectory of the Chinese Communist Party from its founding, the early 1920s, and at the behavior specifically of the first chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, the longtime chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Mao Zedong, we find a man in Mao and the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party as individuals who, whenever they faced a choice between good and evil, they always chose, invariably chose evil.
Yep.
Whenever they had a choice between doing achieving an end by doing it openly and above board, or doing it deceitfully and practicing criminal behavior, they always chose deceit. So here's a life in Mao Zedong, and here's a movement in Chinese communism that was inspired literally by malignant spirits. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt. I could give you examples that would turn your stomach.
Well, I will talk. Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, let's hope. I'm sure you will give us all of that information at the talk. So again, don't forget, folks, Bringing America Back to Life, March 8th and 9th. March 8th, kicking off the whole convention, will be Stephen Mosher, who is going to really show us what we are up against, what the fight that we're in. And it is a diabolical fight. It absolutely is diabolical. Stephen, you know, you talk about the whole population control, how this was so devastating. You know, women being forced to have abortions, hiding the pregnant ladies, pregnant mothers away so that they couldn't find them. All of this, you've explained all of this. You've got several books that you've written. I forget the name of the one that I read about you followed a woman all the way through.
Mother's Ordeal.
A Mother's mm-hmm. Ordeal. I literally was in tears when I was reading that book, because it is so devastating to see what one human being can do to another. You know, it's just horrible, absolutely horrible. But it's interesting to see that right now, very recently, I think within the last month or so, we've seen the chairman of the Communist Party in China crying on TV and begging women in North Korea, I think it was, to please have children, because they don't have any children. What's with that?
Well, communism always kills, you see, and sometimes it kills quickly, and we know that happens in purges and political campaigns. But it also kills slowly, by draining hope from a society, by making people feel like there's no point in bringing children into this dismal, dark, gray world, where everything is controlled by the party, even one's very thoughts. And so in North Korea, they've done the same thing. You know, the little dictator, Kim Jong-il, mm-hmm. has so depressed the economy and so depressed the minds of his subjects that people don't want to have children. It doesn't help, of course, that 15% of the population, one in six people in North Korea, is in a prison camp. And if a woman in a prison camp gets pregnant, she is beaten until she miscarriages.
Literally
true. So in China, of course, they're not quite that dramatic in what they do, but they killed 400 million unborn children from 1979 to the end of the one-child policy in 2016. And now we have Xi Jinping basically telling young Chinese women they must get pregnant and have children. Right now, he's just encouraging them to. But make no mistake, in the future, if young women do not respond to the party's call, there will be forced pregnancy in China. I guarantee it.
That was my next question. Do you think that there's going to be forced childbearing? Because this is the way they seem to do things. They will be taken and captured, or there's going to be this whole, which is what they're already doing. The Chinese are already doing all the, you know, the research and the into in vitro fertilization and all that kind of stuff. So we know that that's already happening. But how's this going to work? Goodness gracious.
Well, how it's going to work is they're going to act in the way that Mao Zedong told them to in 1958. He said, we need to control production, reproduction in China in the same way we control production. In the same way we produce steel and bicycles and cars, we need to produce babies. So his position in 1958, which has been the position of the Chinese Communist Party in the decade since, is that human beings are simply like bicycles or cars or anything else. If we need more, we'll turn on the spigot and produce more. If we need fewer, we'll force women to have abortions and sterilize them. Now they need more. And they are now in the business of encouraging young women. They're now in the business of setting up matchmaking clubs. They're now in the business of providing childcare. But that won't do it. You see, because there are so few young women in China, because so many baby girls have been killed before and after birth, there's no way, unless every young woman in China is forced to get married at 20 and have three children in her 20s, there's no way they can stop the population from dying and shrinking. Mm-hmm. So what are they going to do? I think forced pregnancy is definitely going to be on the agenda in the years to come.
Another thing that's really hitting the news coming out of China is what's going on within the Catholic Church. Stephen, you are a Catholic. I am a Catholic. Both strongly practicing Catholics, we follow the Church. We look to the Vatican. I don't know so much anymore, but I do. I still the Vatican. You know, the Pope is still the head of the Church. But what about these bishops? That there's been some sort of an agreement between Pope Francis and the bishop and the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, about who can and can't become a bishop in China. They've just, I think it's three bishops that have just been ordained. With the blessing of the Chinese Communist Party, what on earth is going on there?
Well, it's hard to tell because the agreement that was signed in 2018 is a secret agreement. So no one knows, aside from Pope Francis and the Secretary of State, Cardinal Parolin, exactly what is in the agreement. We think it concerns the appointment of bishops, but the agreement, the terms of the agreement are, I think, as follows, that the Chinese Communist Party proposes a candidate. And the Pope has a few months, maybe just a few weeks, to endorse the candidate, to bless the candidate, who then becomes a bishop. So that the process is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, which, as you and I know, is not how it is supposed to work. Mm. Push came to shove a few months ago when Beijing ignored the Vatican and simply installed a bishop as the head of the largest archdiocese in China, the Archdiocese of Shanghai. And that was a blatant violation of the agreement because the Pope had not agreed to this man becoming bishop. And so now we see the Vatican simply going along with the Communist Party's choices. Are they good men, bad men? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're selected by the Chinese Communist Party,
who are diabolical. Let's call it spade a spade here. This is a diabolical organ, you know, country leadership choosing our cardinals and our bishops. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's, you know, I often, and folks, you listeners know that I talk about this all the time. At this time in our lives, I think we're living down the rabbit hole. We really are living down the rabbit hole because I would never have been able to see all of this coming. Even 15 years ago, 10 years ago, Stephen, this is just, it's, It's so fast. It's happened so quickly. So I agree with you. I think the devil is definitely very, very active in the world right now, particularly in China. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, and you wrote a very good article on just a couple of days back, actually. It was just about a month ago. And it was about Pope Francis's almost nonchalance towards, and I think you actually call it that it's his nonchalance about sexual sins. He doesn't seem to see how the sexual sins rot everything else. And those of us that have seen it and have had children and families and, you know, kids and everything, you see this nonchalance towards, if there is a nonchalance towards it, that's what happens. The whole community, the whole society goes sort of belly up to a large extent. What, talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, the difference between the adults and children is adults are able to practice self-control. And so as parents, we want to teach our children to control their appetites. We don't want them to drink, too much. We don't want them to eat too much, gluttony. We don't want them to indulge themselves too much, in different occupations, in different pastimes. And we don't want them to abuse their sex. When they become teenagers and those powerful hormones begin to course through their body and they begin to behave in unpredictable ways. And I think that the quickest way to turn someone from a responsible adult into a someone who abuses their natural God-given body is through the sexual route. Yeah. And so I think we see that again and again in the age that we live in. This is the way that the devil tempts most people into sin, I believe.
Yeah.
And by providing us with cell phones and computers and so forth, which enable us to instantaneously communicate around the world, which is a wonderful thing. Also, evil is just one button away.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So this fiducia, I'm going to say it incorrectly, supplicants, that he has just put out, that the Pope Francis has just put out through Cardinal Fernandez, written by Cardinal Fernandez at the Vatican, and the Pope has given it his blessing, and it's all about sexual sins. If there's not supposed to be some, you know, focus on sexual sins, then he's writing these things about sexual sins. He's going to be blessing sexual sins. This is such a contradiction.
Well, it is. And it's also a contradiction that we have, you know, the head of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Fernandez, now apparently the author of sensual mystical literature. And that's an evil, because all it does is justify the worst excesses of the sexual revolution that is corrupting our society and leading young people, quite frankly, to the abyss, teaching them not self-control in sexual matters, but self-indulgence, teaching them that anything goes. They can redefine their very sex if they want to. So this is a dangerous thing, which I think denies our fundamental humanity, denies the fact that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and denies children the chance to reach true adulthood, true responsible adulthood as followers of Christ.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's been so much that has been said, and I know that around the world there are whole countries that are for example, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops type of thing all over the world. These types of conferences are really at a loss as to why, you know, why did we have to have this? You know, why is this complete focus on where we're going, you know, the negatives of society and of culture, when we know, you know, when we see what's happening? Why could there not have been a statement about abortion, to be quite honest with you, instead of a statement about sexuality? And it seems to be ongoing. It just keeps on coming out of this particular Vatican, you know, under this Pope. There is such a focus on the sexual sins and accepting sexual sins, telling us that we need to accept them. There's no ways. How can we walk up to our priest after Mass and somebody's in a homosexual relationship and says, please, Father, can you bless us? And he blesses them in front of everybody. That's creating scandal. There's no other way to say that.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And of course, the statement from the doctrinal office tries to have it both ways. It tries to say nothing has changed. We still believe the same thing, but we're going to change the practice a little bit. Well, the theory, the theology and the practice have to be unified. You can't separate the one from the other. This is a classic example of doublethink or doublespeak. And it simply needs to be withdrawn. As the African Bishops Conference has said, they will not be blessing homosexual couples. The Belgian bishops are on board as well, and a number of other conferences have spoken out against blessing these relationships, because you cannot bless sin.
Mm-mm. You absolutely cannot. You cannot bless sin. You cannot. I know that many people that listen to my program, all of you out there, I mean, we have different Christian religions have different things, but we do not believe, Catholics do not believe in divorce. And you are married until death do you part. I mean, that's just the way when we accept a marriage in the Catholic Church, that's the way it is. But it would be the same as a divorced couple coming up to the priest and saying, please bless us, because, you know, you can't do it until you are out of that relationship. That's not going to work. It's almost blasphemy. I am so discouraged by having this happen at the Vatican from the Pope. I mean, I think it's just one of those things where you just go, wow, how much further are we going to have to go before somebody says, enough, Pope Francis, you cannot do this. Now, I will give you this. He's done some good things as well, so I'm not going to knock him for everything. But these types of things, these types of statements are creating such havoc in our world right now. You know, Stephen, you've got children. I've got children. I've got grandchildren. You've got grandchildren. And I see this sort of complete jumble of instructions coming at our children as being, again, another diabolical strand that's out there right now. So it's really interesting to see what God is going to do with all of this, because he's not going to let it just stand. That's my personal feeling. And I talk to God all the time, and he's told me. I'm kidding.
Well, I talked to Cardinal Zinn, and Cardinal Zinn says that Cardinal Fernandez, the fellow who issued this statement saying you can bless homosexual couples. He said that if the good cardinal is committing a heresy by claiming a serious sin is good, then the prefect should resign or be dismissed. That's the great Cardinal St. Joseph Zinn of Hong Kong, Cardinal Emeritus of Hong Kong, who has spoken out for the Catholic Church and, of course, the Catholic Church in China for many, many decades. Very courageous man. And our own John Paul II Academy for Human Life and Family, which I'm a member of, has also issued a statement signed by our dozens of members asking that the statement be withdrawn, and asking for Cardinal Fernandez to resign.
To resign.
So I think the pressure is building. I hope that Pope Francis will see this appointment has been a mistake, and ask Cardinal Fernandez to go into a monastery somewhere and spend the rest of his life in prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when you read the book that he wrote, and when you read about the book he wrote, he should never have been in charge of even making any kind of statement on this issue. It's like, good grief. Goodness gracious me. Anyway, we have to pray. Honestly, Stephen, the only thing that's going to get us out of all of this is lots and lots of prayer, because I think it's going to be, and we are going to start with that prayer. We'll start right at the beginning of our convention. We have, folks, you can go and sign up on our website to pray for us for our Bringing America Back to Life convention. Every year we have a month full of, you know, daily prayers for people sign up to pray for the convention, and protection and, you know, wisdom to all our speakers. So you can go there and sign up. Even if you can't come, you can still participate. You can do that by signing up and praying for us all as we go through. It's a very, very important convention. It provides so much hope to so many people. People come from all over the country, all over Ohio. And I'm hoping Michigan, you're going to have a good standing there this year again. You know, you're right just around the corner there, and this program airs every night in Michigan as well. So let's make sure we get a lot of people out there to come and listen to Stephen, because he's going to be really worth it. Friday morning, March the 8th, 8 o'clock, the breakfast starts, and then Stephen will start talking at 9. Stephen, as always, such a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you.
Looking forward to seeing you too and everyone at the conference.
Good. God bless you lots. Thank you.
God bless.
Thanks. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.